Well, good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to another edition of the Armenian Radio Program here on WNZK, the Station of the Nations. I'm Vaughn Mistropian, your host, as we bring you the program each and every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. without fail. We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Armenian Congregational, St. John, St. Sarkis, St. Vartan Armenian Churches, Hagopian World of Rugs and Cleaning, American Music Environments in Bloomfield Hills, the Edward Korkoyan Funeral Home, the Law Offices of Deacon Abuhikian, Uptown Deli and Catering, Simon Javisian Funeral Directors, and the Manugian Manor in Livonia. Dear listeners, you can catch the archive broadcasts of these programs on ArmenianRadioProgram.com. Go to the section there and you can find the last month or two of programming archived there, and you can listen to it anytime you would like, 24/7. Also, can't do this program without you, dear listeners. Your support would be much appreciated. You can send any level of support to the Armenian Radio Program, P.O. Box 2121, Brighton, Michigan, 48116. That's the Armenian Radio Program, P.O. Box 2121, Brighton, Michigan, 48116. We would love to hear from you. Well, I am excited about today's program as we have a wonderful young Armenian author to tell us about her experience in writing a book that sort of speaks to her family's recollections and how they arrived here in the U.S. and some of the experience, unfortunate experiences that they suffered and in that process. And she has authored a book called Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections, which you can get on Schuster Books and Amazon.com. And we are going to hear how she was inspired to do this book coming up in our Community in Unity segment. We're happy to have Ariana with us today. Well, dear listeners, as mentioned in last week's program, this week we have with us Ariana Kabodian. And Ariana is the author of a new book that she had decided that for some reason, and we're going to find out why, she wanted to put this book into print and these feelings into print. And this book is called Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections. And this is in commemoration of the 106th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide in honor of her family's history. And she's a very, very, I want to say, a young author, and she is here in the studio, and we are going to talk about what inspired Ariana to write this wonderful book. How are you, Ariana, and welcome to the Armenian Radio Program.
Hi, Vaughn. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic, and thank you for being a part of our Community in Unity segment. As we always like to feature someone that's bringing some added value to everything and anything that's Armenian, and you have sure done this. And thank you so much for bringing me a copy of your book. The cover is absolutely beautiful. It's red, blue, and orange, Turoshag, our tri-colors, and of course the forget-me-nots assembled in the design of a chach, a cross, and very, very fitting for, I think, everything. It says it all right there. So whoever came up with that idea, they did a great, great job. So, Ariana, you're in your 20s, okay? And it's not too often that someone in their 20s sort of has this inspiration or this feeling or this connection with their cultural identity. And especially with something that's so dark as a genocide. So what inspired you? When did the bell go off? When did this urge come to you?
Well, first of all, the cover I actually created. So the flowers I designed, they're a bunch of shapes that I put together on PowerPoint. So I've always had kind of a creative, mind frame, if you will, and just wanted to create, every piece as much as I could so that book, would be as much of me as I am. But yeah, so, you know, growing up, I was very familiar with the Holocaust, and I was very interested in books and movies about the Holocaust because, you know, I resonated a lot, unfortunately, with, you know, the genocide. About last August, my sister, she gave me a book to read about the Holocaust, and it was about how two people fell in love at a concentration camp, and it's based on a true story, and it's about, it's, you know, it depicts their time and their experience during that horrific time. And I read it in one day, and at the end of it, I thought to myself, what a great way to honor your family, and what a great way to spread awareness about what happened, as unfortunate as it was. And it made me think about my own family's stories and how important it is to remember them. And I really wanted to take the time to try to see how many stories my family would have. And, you know, this was originally created just for my family. It wasn't intending to actually make it for the public. But as I was writing this and gathering all these stories and conducting interviews with my family members, you know, we were unfortunately, you know, hearing and seeing what was happening in Artsakh. Mm-hmm. And it was, a lot of my friends were relying on me to tell them what was going on because the media wasn't, you know,
covering anything. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it was in that moment I realized that Armenians know about the Armenian genocide, but it's up to me to help spread that awareness. And so that's really why I decided to go public with this and you know, have it published and everything.
So where do you start, okay? When you launch a project like this, you say, okay, who's my go-to when you start this? Where did you go?
Great question. So my I knew my great-grandma, Melanie. She was a direct survivor of the genocide, and when she passed, I was about 10 years old, I want to say, so I grew up knowing so much about her, but also knowing that, you know, what she went through to give us a better life was just unfathomable. And so I wanted to start with whomever could provide stories, but it ended up being my dad's mom, my grandma Sally. Mm-hmm. And so I sat with her and just kind of told her what I was thinking of doing. Wasn't really sure where it was going to go. But, you know, she was just so thankful that we had these conversations, and I quickly realized that there are a lot more stories that I didn't know about. And so it kind of just, you know.
Blossomed from there.
Exactly.
And have you had any other previous experience in writing?
No, I have not. I went to Mercy High School and then Aquinas College, and I'm currently at Wayne State getting my MBA. So I've had a lot of experience writing papers, writing research papers, and I've always been interested in writing as well as reading. I love to read and always have. So I thought maybe one day I would write a book, but I never thought it would, you know, who knows what it would be about.
Sure.
So that's kind of how my interest blossomed, I guess.
Well, I'm going through the book, and obviously we're on radio, so there's many pictures. It seems like there's a timeline here of where things started and how the family blossomed and divided and grew into many other families. And so it looks like you have quite an extensive uncles and aunts and cousins and stuff like that that probably has been a result of this. And the one thing that I like about this is I'm going through the pages right now, and on page 35, I just noticed that you have my family in here, the Masropian family.
Oh, wow.
And this is my Aunt May and David, and the Masropians all settled in Windsor. So that's why we were always very close with the Cambodian family.
Mm-hmm.
Your Uncle Roger.
Yep.
He was a character. And we loved you know, Zorab, your grandpa, and the whole Cambodian clan, because in Windsor they were very, very tight, and that's all they had was family.
Exactly.
And we've been going through a lot of old pictures, and I came across one with your grandfather and Roger and a lot of them. And I was showing my daughter how this is how we entertained ourselves. We didn't have internet. We didn't have Game Boy or the other stuff you play. We had to make our own fun, and it was something that we created, and that's what brought us all together as family. And us kids, we played together. So it wasn't artificial stimulation from something else. It was one-on-one. Now, as you know, the state of Michigan has passed a law where we now teach the Holocaust and also the Armenian Genocide in the public schools. Now, and I don't know whether or not the curriculum has been completed on that, but we're going to have Ed Hartunian back on the program. He keeps us apprised of that. But I'm hoping that this could... I'd like you to make sure that you get a copy of this, or somebody from that committee gets a copy of this. And have you sent anything to the Armenia Research Center?
I have not, but I believe they have a copy of it, but I'll definitely look into that. But, you know, a big part of this is to help spread awareness and to help educate people about something that they weren't necessarily taught in school. But I did have the privilege to meet with the president of Aquinas College as well as the president of Mercy High School. And, you know, hopefully we'll be working with both of them to help spread awareness within both schools for Armenian awareness. So
Ariana, what was your takeaway from hearing the stories and the recollections of all of these individuals and what they went through? Is any one particular story stand out that you could share with us?
Good question. So in a way, they all kind of stood out. There's actually a couple stories that, you know, were just really hard for me to, you know, write after conducting the interviews, and there were definitely a couple of days where I would have to take some time off just because it's such a heavy topic. Part of what I wanted to do with writing these stories is I wanted to let the reader know, whether they're Armenian or not, that they persevered. Every person in that story that had, you know, unspeakable tragedies happen in their early life, they were able to find a family, get married, have kids, or, you know, find peace. A lot of them, there are a couple of my family members who, or my ancestors, who really loved to garden, you know, towards the end of their life, and it really gave them some peace. So I was trying to acknowledge what happened, but also acknowledge the fact that they were able to survive and persevere and, you know, make the best of their life.
Were there incidences of any orphanage scenarios? Because there was on my side of the family, and was there anything that you came across regarding orphanages?
Oh yes, so quite a few of the stories actually involve orphanages. There's a story in particular where, for example, one of my relatives that's mentioned in the book, he was an orphan at such a young age, and he was also an only child, mm-hmm. and he only spoke Kurd, and he had no idea what his last name was. He had no idea who he was. He only knew his mom's first name and his own first name. And it wasn't until his late teens that people recognized him, because as he grew older, he looked a lot like his father. And so they were able to find some photos somehow and show him who his family was, and they were able to give him a last name. To me, that is something that you would never hear of, and, you know, you should never hear of. So he, you know, lived in an orphanage when he was very young, and writing these stories, you know, it really helped me gain some perspective. I've always been grateful for the life that I was given, and I've always been very thankful for the opportunities that my parents have provided the path for me. But writing these stories, especially during a pandemic, really kind of helped me realize that even in times of sorrow, that there are times that you can, you know, come out of this and you can still continue to live a life.
And I think that's what makes us as Armenians special in a way. As a Christian nation, we've had so much to battle against, a myriad of things that has gone against us. But I think that there's never a quit in an Armenian, because they'll always find the strength to dig down deep and forge ahead. And I think that's what we have deep down inside. And young people like you, which I'm so happy to see, took on a project like this. It's inspiring for the older generation, because I took on this program for really one reason only. It was because I knew that there was a lot of people, a lot of elders that sat at their home, and one day a week they were either able to hear something Armenian. And those were people who deserved that. They've been through enough hell in their lives. And if we brought just one little bit of that sound, that hum, that flavor to their life one day a week, that to me was the mission. And now we're 106 years, so I don't know of too many more survivors, but a lot of our parents and the children of those parents still suffer the aftermath of genocide. So that's why I personally have done it for the past almost 17, 18, now I stopped counting. But it's because we owe it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when the church sanctified all of the martyrs. So now we commemorate, but we also celebrate, because, and I'm glad we sort of took that turn, because we should be celebrating. We were victorious in this. It was a hell of a price we almost paid with our total identity.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm glad to see that someone of your age group, it makes me comfortable to know that in the years to come, we're going to still have this story told.
Well, so, thank you. I mean, it's a lot of it's also about giving a voice to the voiceless. And again, with, you know, trying to show the perseverance and try to, you know, show the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, it was important for me to, my mission with this book was just to help educate people as well as to spread awareness. And so in doing that, I really wanted to help Armenia. And so that's why all of the profit generated from the book will be donated through my partnership with the Paros Foundation to help Armenian children.
That's great.
Just trying to, you know, make something as horrible as it was and trying to help Armenians through it.
So how did you feel, your generation, when President Joe Biden this year was actually one of the first current presidents to recognize the Armenian genocide? How did you feel about that?
That's a great question. To be honest with you, I was really, really proud that President Biden acknowledged it, but also just really happy for my grandmas. You know, they're the ones who, you know, went through it directly with their parents and themselves too, in a way, with my grandmother and experiencing the Istanbul pogrom. So for me, it was great, and it was such a relief, and I was so happy and thankful that we were finally getting this for our ancestors. But I was just happy for those that had such a direct experience with it. You know, I never thought that my grandmas would actually witness that.
Right.
So for me, it was about.
I never thought I would witness it,
right,
to be honest with you. So
so for me, it was about, you know, being very thankful and having a lot of gratitude that those that experienced it in a way that I did not were able to experience that.
Well, let's hope that you know, it's good, and I thank the president for doing that, and I just hope that something becomes of it, because sometimes words are easier to come by than action. So, but hopefully, we take every journey starts with the first step. So
exactly, it's a great step.
Yeah. And I was noticing here from one of your biopacks here that just a reminder, a bit of history. George Romney was the first to recognize the Armenian genocide in the state of Michigan. on April 24th, 1967. So that's going back into our days. You know?
Yeah, a couple years before my time.
yeah, for sure. But even today, we do have things that come up. I mean, the Turks have not let their guard down, that's for sure. I mean, just as recently as this April 24th, we know that that's a sacred day for all Armenians. And here, what happens? The house and some of the cities recognized Turkish Youth Day and made a proclamation for that on the same day. So we can never let our guard down, and we know that there's factions out there, and there's always going to be factions out there that's going to try to silence us. But with books like this and keeping the foot on the gas, it's important that we never stop. Did you find that doing this, when you talked to some of your family members, did it stir some emotions in them? Because sometimes they shut down and they don't want to talk about it because it's
so difficult. Yes. Yeah. No. Absolutely. It was sad. You know, these interviews. I really tried to be very delicate with the situation because obviously this is difficult to talk about and bring up and remember, but it's also important. And so, you know, I really tried to conduct every interview that I did in a way that honored both, you know, who we were talking about, but also who I was interviewing as well. And there were actually a couple of stories that did not make it into the book because mm-hmm. it was just that difficult, you know, which is unfortunate, but also I'm able to at least have these conversations with these people in my family and remember them and remember these stories regardless. One of my family members unfortunately passed away right before the book came out. And so had I not conducted these interviews, you know, we would not have had as much information as we did. As difficult as it was to remember and to bring up and to write about it and to learn about it, it really made it worth it just because this is something that my family can have, you know, in future generations to have.
Have you ever been to Armenia?
I have not, no. I want to go. I'm hoping to go after I finish grad school next year.
Any thoughts about going a little further with this, or this is sort of something that you had done, and do you have feelings to possibly write anything more?
That's a great question. You know, right now I'm just focusing on work and finishing grad school,
right.
So it was a lot to manage all three at once, but, you know, I really wanted to make the most use of the stay-at-home time through this pandemic, and moving forward, who knows what it will bring. I never thought I would write a book about this or write a book at all, really, so that being said, I would love to make another book,
mm-hmm.
so never say never.
So tell me, how does our listening audience, how can they obtain a copy of this book?
Great question. So you can purchase my book, Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections, on Schuler Books as well as on Amazon.
Okay, Schuler Books and Amazon.
Yes.
And you can just look it up under Forget Me Not,
yep.
Armenian Genocide Recollections, and it'll populate. And folks, don't forget that the proceeds of this book is being donated to the Pados Foundation and their children. What is it?
It's the Children's Center, yes.
The Children's Center.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pados Foundation is a fantastic organization, and they do a lot of good. And I know that our organization that I belong with, and also your father belongs to, the Knights of Artan.
Yes.
We work with the Pados Foundation in building and rebuilding the school 106 in Yerevan. So it's a great organization, and a lot of people are doing a lot of great things for the motherland. But you know what? When you put things in word and you put things in a book, to me, books are forever. And I really thank you, Ariana, for putting your words, your family story, and my family story in
yes.
there, too. Okay. It's, you know what? You sort of remind me of what my sister has started to do, but she hasn't really finished it. And if you're listening, Diane, this is an inspiration for us to finish that book. But she's been documenting a lot of our family's history and the tree and stuff like that.
That's fantastic.
And because there's a lot of great stories out there. You could write some of these Netflix special series or something like that. You could do a whole series on some of the family stories and what they've gone through. I know my wife, her grandfather, and I was happy to be a part of this occurrence when we first got married. He had lost his brothers and his sister during the genocide. Long story short, they separated. They got separated because he put his sister in an orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two brothers, they didn't have room for them there, so they went someplace else. Her grandfather, Sarkis, knew the Serpazan, and the Serpazan had been traveling, and he was in Greece, and he was reading a newspaper. And the Armenians, what they did, a lot of them put little ads in papers all over the world.
Oh, wow.
Looking for their siblings.
Yeah.
And so the Serpazan called Sarkis in Chicago. He said, Sarkis, I don't know if this is anything, but there's a man looking for Sarkis Sanikyan's family. And his name is Boaz Sanikyan. And so it happened to be his brother.
Wow.
And so he was in Greece, and the other two brothers had been in communication, and he was in Romania. So they were connected. Long story short, they brought the two brothers to Chicago to all meet after 62 years.
62 years, wow.
62 years. They found each other. And, yeah, it was remarkable. They came to the airport, and they didn't have any kids, so because they told the Sarkis, oh, come to Greece. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I have 13 children, 26
wow.
grandchildren, and 16 great-grandchildren. So he said, you're going to come here. And the Chicago Tribune was there to cover the story. And
that's fantastic.
So the Armenian perseverance and the connection. It doesn't stop.
Exactly. No, I mean, there are a couple of stories in the book as well that, you know, do mention the separation of siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was my great-grandmother. She did not know of her brother until, I'm going to say, around the age of 7 or 10. And it was just, they just happened to find a paper that they think that their parents gave one of the orphanages saying that they were related.
Mm-hmm.
Had they not had that, she would have never known. I wrote the book just to help preserve history, but also to understand that even though, you know, what happened back then with the genocide was so horrible, what happened with Artsakh is really bad and people don't know about it. And so this is a way for people to understand what happened and is happening. And so in the epilogue in the book, I do mention Artsakh so that the reader understands what's going on. The support and everyone being so appreciative of my work, it means everything, and I'm very grateful for it. It's something that has surpassed any expectation that I had, and for me, if one person was to buy it and get something out of it, then that makes it worth it. But a few people have mentioned about the fact that I'll be remembered because of this, and as great as that is, that's not why I wrote the book. You know, I wrote
sure.
the book to help make a difference,
mm-hmm.
and to me, that is more important than anything. So,
well, you did make a difference. You are making a difference, and I can't wait to dive into this and read this. I'm probably going to start tonight because I saw page 35.
I know what story you'll read first.
Yeah, but Ariana, thank you so much for spending some time with our audience and the Armenia Radio program. And folks, go to Schuller Books or Amazon.com. Look up Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections. You won't be disappointed in reading the story that this young Armenian put together because her heart just spoke to her, and it was something that she needed to put into words so that she could share with other people. Good luck in your schooling.
Thank you.
Your work, your career, and life in general. Ariana, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vaughn.
Sally, I know you're proud of your granddaughter, okay? And you did a great, great job. Take care.